League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes, top down, screaming out money in the bank.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the rims.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. For those of you who didn't hear, Fred Fowler passed yesterday. So if you have any thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in here to talk about Fred. A.J. Hoffman's going to join us an hour from now here to talk about his partner for 12 years on the radio. John wants to talk about Fred. Let's get him in here. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning. This kind of just shows what kind of guy Fred was. So, like, in 2019, I was going through divorce. There's no one in my family who has ever been through a divorce. I didn't have anyone to ask any questions to. And I had never been depressed in my life. I guess it was, like, the first time. And I didn't really know how to react to it. I just randomly heard Fred talking about his divorces, multiple. So I made a Twitter account, sent him a message, just said, hey, any advice? He just sent me his number immediately and said, either call me or come out to a show. I went to the next show the next day. And after the show, bought me a beer and just sat and talked to me for like 3 hours. I made a joke about being broke. He like slipped $200 into my jacket that I found later. And I actually kept in touch with him up until about a year ago when I got a new phone and lost the number. But he even checked in with me for like almost a year, probably once a month after that.
No. I tell you what, that's a great
story. That's a great story.
Yeah, it shows that Fred was a really compassionate person. I heard, you know, I told you earlier, he got me started, but he didn't do it out of compassion. He was trying to do the best he could for his Chronicle, the Houston Chronicle, when he was doing it. And he just was really, he did a lot of things that weren't being done at that time in newspapers.
That's a great story.
And for him to.
Much better than you guys, because you guys would have said, that's your first marriage, get over it. The second one's always better. That's what you would have done.
No, but for Fred to slip the money in.
I would have told him how John was told John.
You would have said, is that your first? Is that your first?
You're better off.
You would have said that.
You're better off. You're going to be fine.
That was the first. So we're working on the second, hopefully.
Yeah. Are you,
thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
And you're fine, right, John? John, everything's good, right?
I'm sorry?
And you're fine, right? Everything is good?
I'm great.
See?
Bar license. I'm an attorney. It's been 5 years. Everything's going good.
See?
You're good.
All good.
Aaron Raybould, our
another
former...
another confirmation.
Yeah, but Fred talked and sat down and comforted him and then slipped the money and kept talking.
I could have got it done in like 2 minutes.
I don't think that's what that guy needed then. Get over it.
Not get over it.
Basically, that's your message.
Listen, no, that wouldn't be get over it. It would be, you're better off right now, pal.
It's...
No, you're in a better place.
But, you know, Aaron Raybould said Fred was, you know, Aaron was a big Blitz guy. He was our producer for a little bit, and he came from the Blitz, and he was really loved those guys.
Yeah.
Like, really loved the Blitz, and Fred was a big part of it. I've seen things that, you know, interns have said, and people who have worked around it. Jeremy Branham had nice things to say. He would reach out and help people.
Yep.
Which was... And Fred didn't have that kind of ego to where he just liked being part of something, too. He was very excited. When he and AJ, their ratings were going great. I mean, he was just on top of the world that he was part of something that was like that. It was having that show, having that family, you know, kind of a family, being part of something. And it is a big deal when you are part of something that is successful. It's great to be, you know, the individual stuff's great, but I mean, I think the team stuff is way better because you get excited about stuff as a team. And Fred was, I think Fred was a good teammate for AJ, and AJ's talked about that. AJ Hoffman's going to join us at 9 o'clock. We show pay our respects for Fred Fowler, who was one of the early adapters to ESPN before, you know, when it was 1560. I know David Gow bought 97.5. ESPN 97.5 was a separate company, and Fred and, you know, Fred and AJ were a huge part of it. There's a lot of listeners who don't listen to us. I mean, because they had their own base and their own block that loved what they did, which is the irreverent stuff.
Right. Well, they were at 97.5 when we were at 610, and they were, you know, starting to do a lot of good things.
Wait. They weren't there that early because Fred, AJ was in Austin. You mean 1560?
No. They came over here as a show. They were already on the air, established before they came here.
But not when we were at 610. That was we left there in 2007.
Oh, they weren't doing it yet.
No. AJ was still in Austin.
No. Oh, that's right. Greenberg.
They came over when we were in 1560.
We were up against Mike Greenberg when they were there.
But we were in 1560. They were there.
We were 1560. But AJ put out in a tweet. He said, "Yeah, Fred didn't really like being made fun of at first." But then he realized that that was how the show was going to be better, and then he accepted it and actually started becoming self-deprecating. It's a little bit like Dell here, how we make fun of him, a lot of stupid stuff that he says and does. So it's all self-deprecating for him.
You think I've had an issue being made fun of on this show?
No, but I've usually accepted it, and it's because... I mean, the listeners realize that, you know, you're...
Have you accepted being made fun of?
You're the class clown. Yes, I absolutely do. I get made fun of all the time, and it's fine.
No, you're the clown. I'm the court jester, remember?
You are the court jester. That's right. 808, yes, if anybody else has got some thoughts about Fred, you're more than welcome to get in here. I didn't see... Here is what's going on with the bullpen right now. It's spring training, and you tell me. Josh Hader, 4 innings, no, zero ERA, 3 strikeouts. Ryan Pressly, 3 innings, 6 ERA, 2 strikeouts. Brian Abreu, 3 innings, 0 ERA, 5 strikeouts in 3 innings. Pretty good. Rafael Montero, 2 innings, 18 ERA. Not great. 1 strikeout. Drew Strotman, 7 2/3, 2.35 ERA, 10 strikeouts.
Good.
That's really good.
What's a Drew
Strotman?
What
is a Drew Strotman?
Yeah.
I never heard of one of those things. Parker Mushinski?
Sounds like I know Parker Mushinski.
6 innings, 0 ERA, 9 strikeouts.
He actually had some decent outings last year. Yeah. Remember
well,
that?
I think it's him or Bennett Sousa. Sousa is 5 innings, 5.40 ERA with 2 strikeouts. Mushinski is making a case to be the left-hander out of the bullpen. Taylor Scott. 8 innings, 0 ERA, 7 strikeouts. What is a Taylor Scott? Never heard of one. A Wander Suero. 6 2/3, 4.05 ERA, 6 strikeouts. Dylan Coleman, who they picked up. Wow. 4 1/3, 14.54 ERA, 5 strikeouts. Seth Martinez is going to be in this bullpen. 3 2/3, 0 ERA, 5 strikeouts. Brandon Bielak. I think Brandon Bielak. Dana Brown talked about trying to make a trade. Bielak might be somebody that they might be dangling out there.
Ooh, maybe we get a starting center fielder out of
it. No, they're looking for relief help. You're maybe trading relief, Matthew, relief guys. Renell Blanco is really killing it. 7 2/3, 8 strikeouts, 0 ERA.
I mean, Strotman is a career minor leaguer. I'm looking at him right now. He's been a career minor leaguer. Nothing too substantial in his background. He's about a 1-to-1 in terms of innings pitched to strikeout. He's in that neighborhood. Whips. There's nothing in his background that would tell you that this is a guy who's going to be. I mean, he's got a, you know, his whip is going to be primarily 1.4. There's a 0.75 there for a little bit. Which
he
is
facing a lot of plumbers
1.2,
right
1.7,
now.
1.8, 1.5, 1.5. Yeah. I mean, he's beating plumbers, but that's good. Do your job. Mm-hmm. Do your job. That's good. Make yourself, you know, he's 27. Create a little noise. Make John Granato talk about you.
Or
you did.
Trade bait.
He did what he
looks good this spring. Maybe he's trade bait.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't. Not
he's
sure.
Been pretty much like low A, then high A. It's great that he's pitching well, though. And sometimes you find something. So I think Ronel Blanco is going to be the guy. You'll use Ronel out of that role in the.
Oh, Ronel Blanco.
Ronel will take over the Montero, the old Montero role. Montero will take over. He's not. Does he take over the Nerys role? No, you don't have.
No.
That. So Abreu's in the Nerys role now.
Abreu's
Montero's in the Stanek role. No, Montero's in the Montero role, unfortunately. And then the Stanek slash Maton role is going to be Ronel Blanco, I think.
Yes, I think Ronel Blanco has a much bigger role. I think Seth Martinez has a bigger role this year. He can take over for Stanek. Got to take over for Kendall Graveman. Got to take over for Nerys. There's a lot of taking over to do. And, you know, Josh Hader certainly helps all of that along the way. 713-780-3776 to get into your Fred Fowler. Passed away yesterday, so AJ Hoffman is going to join us at the top of the next hour. And if you have any thoughts on Fred or anything
feel free
else,
to come in.
You're more than welcome to come in.
Absolutely.
I got to talk right now. I was at Carlton once yesterday. I was at the Fazio course, not the Nicholas course. But as they tell me, the Nicholas course is coming in so perfectly right now, and it's going to be ready. It is coming up. It's April 18th, the Chevron Championship. Get your tickets at thechevronchampionship.com. It is the first major of the year for the ladies. If you've never been to Carlton Woods, it is such a beautiful, beautiful course. They actually kind of they had to get to the Woodlands and to get the Nicholas course. They had to move some things around, and the LPGA said, "Yep, we'll move them around because we want to be here." A 5-year deal with Carlton Woods. And the Nicholas course, and they can't be happier with the way that it played last year, and it's going to play tougher this year. They did a lot of redos. They did a lot of stuff with the greens, and it is going to be the perfect setting for that first major of the year. And if you're somebody that loves golf, or even if you don't, you got a little girl that you want to see competition by the ladies at the highest level, this is the place. Get on out there. April 18th through the 21st, it's thechevronchampionship.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We go together, better than birds of a feather, you and me. We change the weather, yeah. I'm feeling heat in December.
You're listening to John and Lance and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Jonas Brothers will be at NRG tonight. Still a very popular band. I've never seen them live, but if tickets are available, I'm sure they'll put on a great show. John, have you ever seen the Jonas Brothers show? Have you ever had to experience it because of Frankie or anything?
No, she wanted to go, though.
One Direction.
I mean, I would have to fly her in and stuff, so no.
Oh, she wanted to go to this show?
Yeah, she would love to go to Jonas Brothers.
I mean,
they're huge.
They individually did really well, too.
Yeah. They're huge.
Or one of them did.
It's still, the younger, those people like them still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them's already been through a divorce.
Oh, yeah? Who? Well, one of them's
One of them was married to Sansa, but not anymore.
Oh, not anymore?
No.
Oh,
Sansa
man.
Liked the party now.
Well, she's
you see her just chugging beer at basketball games,
yeah.
Hockey games, yeah.
She's fun. I like that about Sansa. But yeah, that's not. Did you go to Zach Brown last night?
I didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't think to go. Did you?
I didn't. JT went with his buddies, so they had a big time. And I asked them how it was. They said it was great.
Did he do the what's it called, the fried chicken song, whatever it's called? Did he do that to close the show, to open the show? What's it called?
He usually doesn't do it to close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fried chicken.
No.
No, that's
a little bit of chicken fried.
Chicken fried.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
A pair of jeans fits just right. I have heard that.
And the radio.
Is the pair of jeans about him or a girl?
Ryan for the first time. I'm not. I've been like in and out on country stuff, but I don't.
You know what chicken fried is?
Yeah, I have heard.
Are the jeans about him or a girl?
A pair of jeans that fits just right. It's about everybody.
It's about a girl or himself.
Well, yeah, if you have a jeans that fits just right.
You got a pair of jeans that fits just right.
I don't wear jeans anymore. I'm asking. I don't know the song.
You don't wear jeans, though, do you?
No, I don't. So I'm asking, was he talking about a girl who looked
great
in
jeans? Your own jeans fit just right. That's great. Yeah.
Probably meant just because that's a good feeling. But at the same time, it would be clever to say a pair of jeans that fit just right. Yeah. And he's talking about the girl.
I mean, because I'd much prefer the jeans that fit just right on the girl than jeans that fit just right on me.
Yeah.
I mean, just my mindset.
I mean, I see that. I totally see that. What are you looking at here? You seem to be...
Well...
Something just got your attention.
Well, something got my attention.
The video did.
Crazy clips.
Oh, you can't. John follows.
A dad who slaps the mom and the boy knocks his dad out.
That's stepdad. Yeah. I mean, the stepdad slapped mom and the boy... See, I've seen all the... I got into a hole yesterday. I've seen all these. I'm already up on all these, and they're all old anyway.
Yeah.
I saw one that was so bad I couldn't follow it. It was making me mad. It was like some guy beating up a veteran in an old folks home, or just punching him in the face.
You're seeing guys.
I was like, I can't see this.
Guys who are just people that are getting on the subway and guys just hitting people.
I can't watch it. It makes me terrible. think that people all need to be just electrocuted and just... Done away with.
That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I gotta get out of this. If I just think I need to start carrying a taser and bear spray, just randomly. What am I? And I think, what am I? Some kind of basically superhero who will run on, who will start running on subways and spraying people with pepper spray.
That would be great. If you came across them and you pepper spray them all.
I mean,
that would be great.
People just not act like a-holes? Can we start really punishing really hard? If you just randomly punch somebody in the face, let's go ahead and let them hit you in the face with a bat. I mean, that's a deterrent, right? If you randomly just hit people, you're just random acts of violence. It's supposed to be random acts of kindness, not random acts of violence. Random acts of violence should be met with substantial violence. And then maybe that's a deterrent.
So violence begets more violence?
It's in the early Bible stuff.
And you think that's the right solution?
I think the second one was more turn your cheek and forgiveness and all that. The first one's what eye for an eye. And I just think the first one, I think the first one really would slow people down a little bit.
Slow people down.
We got to stop, people, you can't keep acting like this or there's going to be some punishment for you.
So you think once you get to a certain point in the violence, it won't escalate any further?
Yeah.
I look at other countries and I say if you get your hand chopped off for shoplifting, I can tell you the decision making will be a little tougher for you about shoplifting. I'm just saying that makes sense.
And you're less
for
capable.
Me at least.
And to be fair, you're less capable because you're missing a hand.
Yeah, you won't be able to shoplift as easily.
It'll be harder. You gotta, now, the
Scarlet Letter. When I read that in high school, I thought, okay, that's a lot that you have to wear this letter A around.
Just because someone else said
you
did something. Because someone else said you did it, you get the A on your chest, even if they're lying about it.
Yeah, that was, I can't remember the story. She was not an adulteress. It was just tricked. Yeah.
The whole point of that.
That was the whole point of the, I missed that
kind
part.
Of.
It was a book.
You weren't paying attention.
I wasn't.
Unless it was Lord of the Rings.
Cliff Notes. Right. I did see
or
the
Shogun.
Cliff Notes on it.
You read Shogun.
I read Shogun. It was great.
You read Shogun?
Yeah. It was.
But Shogun's been around for a while.
A long time. There was another series. Richard somebody played
it. Yeah, they did it
back in
a while.
Early 70s or 80s.
No, I remember when it was a big deal.
Yeah.
This isn't the same thing as Tom Cruise when he did his little
No,
thing,
that was
right?
Last Samurai.
Yeah, Last Samurai.
This is a lot. Listen, the book was awesome, but the series that series was pretty good too. This
you
is
said
excellent.
There's no
this series is excellent. Everybody, we started. We got the first two of the Kate Winslet.
What do you Kate Winslet?
Oh no, it's The Regime.
The Regime.
Oh, The Regime. Yeah.
It's weird.
It's
as
really
hell.
Weird.
I've seen
it's
the first.
Weird as hell.
I haven't seen the latest.
I saw the first two.
I got to admit, there's something about Kate Winslet that's like, she's kind of sexy, but in a weird, like.
In a weird way.
In a weird way. She not, looks, not standard.
She,
not,
what a compliment.
She still looks good.
Yeah.
What a compliment
but,
for
but
her.
But the her little minion is, that guy's a wild card. He is a bad
I've seen
temper.
That guy a lot in German television.
Yeah.
It's kind of dystopian. I mean, I feel like I'm watching, like, from the creators of Handmaid's Tale. It's got a real dystopian type feel to it with the way that they're dressed up. And so, yeah, it's not bad. It's just different.
Yep. It's weird.
It's different.
It's weird. Ryan, let's talk NFL. What do you say, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. I want to say RIP Falcon. Real quick story. One time I went on a pub crawl with him and met him. We started talking, and I said, you know, I can outdrink you. And he said he could outdrink me, and that was a bad mistake on my part because that man could throw them back.
Yeah, so he's known.
Anybody that's drank with him would know
he's
that.
He's known for gambling and being able to hold his bourbon.
Yeah, I was drinking Coors Lights. He was drinking IPAs, and let's just say I didn't last till 6 p.m., so.
Wow. He outdrank the Coors Light versus IPA?
Yeah.
That's a little different.
That's pretty, That's impressive.
Impressive. Yeah. So, quick question. So, last year around this time, I remember Greg Cosell was given not high praises, but somewhat high praises in regards to Kenny Pickett and saying that he was going to show some significant advancement. And obviously, that didn't work out last year. And it's crazy how things play out. But I want to hear y'all's thoughts on the whole Russell Wilson thing. I'm sure y'all touched on it, but do you think he's going to be able to come in there and work with Arthur Smith and have a turnaround? Do you think he's just so far gone that it's beyond, you know, skills, it's mental? Like, what are y'all's thoughts on him going there with those weapons and that O-line and that offense? And do you think he'll be able to succeed or
no?
I think have high expectations?
I think it's past the point of no return for Russell personally.
God, it's
I don't
so
have
weird.
I know. He was an MVP front runner in 21 and it just fell off.
How do you just fall off like that?
I don't know. And then had a bad 22. No. It was in 20. He was MVP front runner for the first half of the year. Fell off second half. Was not that great the next year in 21. 22 was really bad with Denver. Better statistically, but his own teammates yelled at him. I don't have a lot of faith. It's clear by now. The stories I heard in Seattle, now you saw it in Denver. Teammates don't really buy into Russell Wilson that much. I think they think he's kind of phony. I'm not sure Russ is always. I think he tries to be who he needs to be. So I don't know that there's a lot of respect for him as a leader, unfortunately. I think he had a really terrific career, honestly. But I feel like it's too far gone, John. And I don't know that a teammate, he's a bridge quarterback. So how do you get everyone to buy in, your teammates and everything? You go to a new team. He's not really loved around the league, and he's going to come in there, and you know he's a short-timer. I just don't think he's going to get the respect and command the respect that he needs to as a quarterback. I think his confidence has been very shaken over the last few years. I don't have great hopes for him, honestly. I mean, he had DK Metcalf, and he had Tyler Lockett. I mean, that's a pretty damn, and he still wasn't the same quarterback. Now he's going to go to Pittsburgh, and he's got, you know, Pickens, who is just, I don't know what to think of Pickens. He's got Deontay Johnson.
He's been traded.
He's traded, yeah, right?
To the Panthers, I believe.
Yeah, so who is the second receiver over there? I'm trying to think of the second receiver, but I don't think it's great. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to make any difference in Pittsburgh. I think it's just going to turn into, is it time to give Kenny Pickett a start? We'll get that after the third game. I can already tell you what the headlines are going to look like. I don't think it's going to be good for them.
I don't know. I don't think it's the answer, but he wasn't bad last year.
The stats were okay.
He has to be managed, right? Like, he can't – you. If you're expecting Russell Wilson to be an elevator, I don't think
that's
so.
That's just it, though, Dell. I don't think he can play in a managed offense.
Well,
so that's the
Sean
that's where
Payton
you
tried
are.
His
He's
best,
a play
I guess.
Extender. He was at his best when he could play extend. He likes things to come off schedule sometimes, too.
He does.
He's not good at it anymore.
Yep. You know who's good at extending?
But he should be. Physically, he's like – he doesn't run as much anymore, which also hurts him.
You know who's good at extending loans is Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, he'll extend you a loan, 60-month. No one does 48 anymore. 48's dead. The 4-year, everyone's going 60. Some are going 72. There's even 84. You know, if you want to purchase, we had to make a lot of these decisions. My son got his first car, the Buick Envision. Loved the interior, loved the exterior, loved everything about it. Looked at the Buick Encore. The price was important for me because I'm going to be paying for this car for at least the first and maybe the second year. So we looked at purchase options, looked at the finance rates. And one of the things I wanted to do was I said, look, let's go with a 39-month lease. We got the payments where I wanted them. And then we got the vehicle that he liked. And so it was a win-win for both of us. And then 15,000 miles on it. So he's got plenty of miles. Got to drive back to Tuscaloosa this weekend. He just told me yesterday, he goes, it's so weird, Dad, waking up with my own car. Like, this is my car. And he was very thankful. He loved dealing with Craig and Jeff and Rick and everyone over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They make it a breeze. It's simple. You enjoy the car buying experience. Having a new car is a big deal. It's a lot of fun, and it shouldn't be a stressful, you know, it shouldn't be a stressful event to go in and buy a vehicle. And it's never a stressful event out in Angleton. Great service, great selection, and the best prices you're going to find, whether it's purchase or lease. It's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Start your car buying right now at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. AJ Hoffman joining us at the top of the hour. 7378. No, the Shogun, back in the day, it was in 1980. The first series, it was
a big deal on TV, if I remember correctly.
Somebody sent it. It was Richard Gozinha, but it's not Richard Gozinha. It is.
Did he ever win an Emmy for his portrayal?
It's Richard Chamberlain. He was the actor.
No, Gozinha.
So what's the
reminds me of Bofa.
But what's the shortening of Richard? Don't we call Richard the
Why?
Rick.
No.
Rick.
Hey.
Rick.
Rick. Rick Gozinha.
Rick. Rick Gozinha. It's Gozinha.
He was great, man. His career ended prematurely, though.
Yeah, the 1980 one was really, really good. And this one though, is a different level.
So there were epics on TV back in the day when I was a kid. Like, Roots was a huge deal.
Roots was huge.
I remember my parents going over to another family's house. Now that I look back at it, my mom and dad went over to Clarence James and his wife, Henrietta, black couple, and they watched Roots together. I was like, man, that was...
Well, you came over to my house to watch Game of Thrones before?
Yeah. I mean, they're watching Roots. That's a little different.
Well,
it's not sci-fi, fantasy,
no, no,
whatever.
I get it, but
that's about the slave trade and everything.
Well, I know, but it's still, I mean, it's like, that's what people do. They get gathered together and watch epic series together.
So there was that. People would gather on Game of Thrones, but I'm like, in the early 80s, you had Lonesome Dove was a huge deal, I remember. I never watched that. I never saw that either,
but everybody says you missed it.
Yeah, if you like Yellowstone, they say Lonesome Dove was great. And then Shogun, I think, was on TV.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you used to have markers of, I remember the day after where we're in the middle of the Cold War. I'm terrified of nuclear war. And this is what it's going to look like if there's a nuclear bomb in the United States, like, oh, great, let me watch this. The kids should not watch this. Great. I already know I've got to get underneath the desk because that'll save me. If there's a nuclear bomb, you get under the desk and you sit there with your hands over your head.
Yeah, we had nuclear.
It protects you.
Nuclear war drills. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it protects you against radiation blast.
Right.
If your hands are over your head.
Right.
Then you can't get it.
Right.
Especially if you're under a desk, which can protect you.
Yeah. Bunkers were a big thing back then. Bunkers. Everybody digging bunkers to
Did and, they?
Yeah.
Not here. Not in Houston.
Well, you can't.
Bunkers not a thing.
You can't here in Houston.
Deal with clay.
Yeah.
You could.
Well, you could, I guess, but
you could. You got a lot of clay you're dealing with.
And it's the first rain, it's just gonna flood out.
Yeah. Well, put Did you ever see when we had the hurricane coming in? A guy, my God, our last, well, the big was Harvey, and the guy who wrapped in it was in the Meyerland area. I don't know if it's guy. I assume wrapped the whole house in plastic wrap. Like, thought that, like, I don't know, I think this is going to work. Oh, he put sandbags and plastic wrap all around his house.
Didn't work that well.
It didn't take.
No. At Meyerland, holy crap, about it. Just a lake. It turns into a lake when it drizzles.
I know.
Let's get Red Raider Kevin in here. Hey, Kev.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Gonna kick a little cougar ass tonight.
Ooh, what? Okay, you lead. You come right out with that. Come right out with that.
Yeah, I mean, reckless, you know, aren't we?
I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that, man. Hey, life is good. Look, I personally, like I told Dale, man, I personally didn't know Fred Powell, but one thing I know, Fred's got to be a great guy. Had to have been a great guy because my brother, man, didn't get along with nobody. If he met a guy, he met an enemy. And he thought all white America was against him. But he thought Fred Fowler, man, was cream of the crop. He really, really loved Fred. And for whatever reason, Fred took a liking to him. And, you know, my brother wasn't an easy guy to be a friend to at all. I mean, I'll just be real with you about it. Like, he was angry black guy on 700. And, man, but he loved Fred Power. I don't know why they clicked or what conversations they had, but, man, he spoke highly of Fred Power.
Fred was very amenable. Like, yeah, he was not a guy that had – he was pretty easy to get along with. I think he was pretty – I know, like, one person that had beef with Fred. But Fred was a pretty easy guy. I think that's right, Red Raider Kevin. He was a guy that just got along with a lot of people. Pretty – low-key demeanor, really. Just wanted to have fun.
Yeah. Hey, look, on the Russell Wilson thing, man, I think if you look at the past 2 years by the number, and the only reason why I say this is because I was curious about it because I didn't think Russell did a horrible job. I think he hadn't been Russ. And if you compare a guy now to who he once was when he played at an all-star level, yeah, it ain't the same. He's not the same guy anymore. But I saw a thing called blind faith where you just put up a guy's numbers versus Russell. They looked at the kid, Herbert with the Chargers. They put him up side by side, and Russ was better, or right there equivalent. They put up the kid in Jacksonville, Lawrence, next to him, and he was better than Lawrence. But the point that that Colin was making, it was Cowherd who did it, the point he was making is that sometime in the media, when certain people sour on guys, they put a narrative out there about him, and he was like, look, I'm not saying Russ has been Russ. Yeah, I mean, you know, Russ has had some problems, but Russ has not been nowhere near as bad as the media is making him out to be if you go by the number over the past 2 years that some of these other guys, like Lawrence, like Herbert, who they love. So if you got to take the chance or want to have the opportunity, you may not as Russell Wilson and it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if you look at them by the number, at some guys who we say are up and coming or guys who people love, Russ ain't been as bad, man.
Let me ask you a question.
With his efficiency.
You play college ball. The problem I think Russ mm-hmm. has right now is he's not loved in the locker room, and they think he's kind of phony. They did in Seattle. I think they did in Denver as well. He came in asking for his own. Like, he demanded a bunch of stuff in Denver. He was not one of the fellas. I think that's something, too, though, right, that even if the numbers – because Russ was not – his team didn't seem to be – didn't really have his back at the end in Seattle or in Denver. I think there's something to that, too, as well, Kevin, that – and you can maybe speak to that playing college ball – is sometime it matters also how the building, how the locker room thinks of a quarterback.
No, Lance, you're absolutely right about that. You know you are. But I would say this. We're talking about grown men who are supposed to be professionals. And people would think that that crap doesn't matter because, hey, look, show up, do your job. We're all trying to make a means for our family. Hey, do what you're supposed to do when you show up in this building and don't worry about another man's business. That's why guys don't speak on other guys' contracts, because we're all individuals and we all need to take care of our own business. But at the end of the day, I'll tell you what I know for a fact, because I had people, and if you go just take a look in the building that are former Red Raiders in Dallas, the thing that killed the Cowboys was the Ezekiel Elliott first contract, well, second contract when he re-signed, and guys was like, they know this guy wasn't taking care of his business, so some guys literally quit on the team. So you would think, hey, take care of your business because you're a grown man, but no, it matters. And if you remember back, Sherman, I want to say, was the first guy to speak on Russ, talking about how fake he was in the locker room and how guys didn't like him. I think Richard Sherman was the first guy to speak
on
that.
Yeah, it was.
That spoke publicly about it.
It was. There was an issue with, and that was a surprise because Russ was really at the top of his game when that kind of came out. And he made a comment that, and I remember, thanks for the call, Red Raider Kev. You know, there was, I remember the first time I heard about that with Philadelphia, that I heard from somebody who was close to a starting member of the defense. In Philadelphia, there was a big chasm for Donovan McNabb in the locker room about and it kind of gets to a tricky cultural thing that is, you
created,
know,
created T.O.
Well, T.O. did help create it, and I remember Jeremiah Trotter was, I was told Jeremiah Trotter was all in on Yeah, you're right. And that's two offensive players, but you pick sides.
A diva wide receiver.
You on T.O.'s side, or are you on Donovan's side? But there were some things where the guys thought in Philadelphia that Donovan was kind of a fraud, that he showed you a public face, but behind closed doors, he was a different thing. And I think that is an interesting – it's a lot of – I'll just say this, and a lot of you will tune out, but I think it's something that internally that black quarterbacks have to deal with sometimes with teammates, is that – you walk a fine line at times about being, are you too much like, are you being real? Are you who you're being? Are you being a phony guy because you want to make the white owner smile or be happy with you? It's a weird thing that other quarterbacks don't have to deal with, that you have to, are you black enough in the building with your teammates? Are you a real dude? Like C.J. Stroud is just himself. He's authentically himself. Everyone loves it. He doesn't have to try to be something. I think Russ has been a unique, and this is a conversation that is fun to have probably with the right people who can just be honest and have this conversation, like me and Dell, because we're friends.
Best friends.
But like Russell Wilson, you know, he's a biracial guy who was always, and you remember when they called RG3 a cornball brother. It was Jay, I can't remember who it was.
It was Rob Parker.
Rob Parker called him that, cornball brother. And I thought, that's such a damaging thing to say. You know, I don't think you should make those comments, but I do wonder sometime if Russell, do you think that's fair, Dell, that Russell, because you will speak honestly about that. I know this actually for a fact, that there were guys in the building who think Russ in Seattle was
phony.
Was phony and
I think
trying to be, quote, and I heard this, too white, quote unquote, too white. That's something that Drake May's not going to have to deal with.
Yeah, being very good. I think it goes beyond just being, I guess, authentic, I guess is the cleanest way we're going to be able to say it. People looked at Russ as being fake. You could be who you are, but just be that person. They didn't believe he was being who he actually was. I don't know who Russ is in real life, but he came across as someone, at least to his teammates, as being fake. I don't think Dak Prescott has the same issues, and Dak Prescott wouldn't be considered the most authentic, if we're going to use that term. If we're going to have a spectrum between, let's say, Lamar Jackson, who's the people's quarterback, we'll put that in quotes, the people's quarterback. Dak Prescott doesn't have that same cachet, but I don't know if people think Dak is fake. He's just Dak, and he's just different. He's the way he is. I think it's more about Russ not being himself. And if you're not going to be yourself, people are going to see that.
Ryan Clark's comment about is very telling about Lamar Jackson. He's the first real black quarterback. I mean, whatever I always feel means. Uncomfortable because you make it sound so homogenous that black people are all the same. Like, this is the real black. That is such a – I know people who are way different. Like, you can't – it's such a damaging thing to put everyone in a homogenous group. Like, this is real black. Okay.
All right. We got to break it here. 713-780-3776.
You can weigh in when we come back about black quarterbacks and real black quarterbacks.
Don't rub
you want.
Your
can't rub your XFL hoodie on your arm. But since you are in the community,
real blue.
You tell me
this
that you're
is
in
real
the,
blue.
That's real blue. But that's since real. You're in kind of the community, I'd like for you to speak on Shogun and the difficulties of being a black quarterback if you can.
Time for me to talk about free reign. So, yesterday, Lance says, well, bring me in a cup of coffee. Today I brought you in
a
cup. It is good, isn't it?
Really good. So I've got my cold Starbucks here in this one, and I've got free range in this one.
Free reign.
Free reign. That was fantastic.
It is good.
Really
it?
Good. I mean, and then I go to this Starbucks that I brought in. It's just in my cup. I just poured it out of a thing I bought. There is a big difference in taste.
So
a big difference.
There it is, the taste test. Del, you don't drink coffee, do you?
I do not.
Okay. So I'm telling you, I'm not lying about this. Free reign is different. It doesn't have that bitter aftertaste that coffee. It's not. It's so good. It's full body. It's different. Yeah, Rip did this. Okay, in San Angelo, 25 years ago, they started this thing, and it is real. Get up and get after it. I'm telling you, if you like coffee, this coffee is different. They just brew it. It just is different. It is better. You got the American Dirt, which is the most popular one.
It's
That's what
good.
You had today. I've got
it's
the
pretty
Homestead.
Smooth for being American Dirt.
At my house, the Texas Pecan is already done. And I think the Texas Pecan is better than that. It's better
really?
Than that. Yeah. And you, my friends, have a chance to get this yourself. 975coffee.com. Listen to Lance. He drank this coffee, and he believes it. I'm telling you, it is the best coffee I've ever had. 975coffee.com. You put in promo code ESPN20 for 20% off. 975coffee.com. Promo code ESPN20.
ESPN. 975. Because, baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 851 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Next up, after this segment, we're going to hear from A.J. Hoffman right here on the show. And let's get back to the Texans for a second. 33rd team, winners and losers, biggest winners and losers of the first wave of free agency. Their number one winner is the Houston Texans. And talked about all of the moves that they've made. And extended Joe Mixon yesterday. Signed Tim Settle yesterday. Another big day for your Houston Texans. They say the best under-the-radar move of the first wave of free agency might have been nabbing DeNico Autry, able to play on the edge or as a tackle. Autry has been fantastic over the last 7 years, quietly produced 11.5 sacks for Tennessee, proving to age gracefully. Houston's playmaking on both sides of the ball has markedly improved already. Apparently now, with the addition of Danielle Hunter, who's going to be on the outside, DeNico Autry is going to be on the inside. The question is going to be whether or not, well, you got a little bit more bulk with Tim Settle yesterday. You have Heinisch. You have Khalil Davis. The question is whether or not you're going to be able to stop the run any better than you have been. And perhaps you will. Maybe Tim Settle helps that a little bit. But yeah, I think you might have. I don't know. I don't know how that worked out. It'll be interesting to see if at any point they divulge what they were thinking when they signed Autry followed by Danielle Hunter. Whether or not Danielle Hunter just came along or they planned on using Autry inside all the whole time.
I don't feel like – I don't know. I mean, Eric Armstead was in the mix, right?
Well, I had always thought Autry was a tackle, but he had moved outside.
Yeah, he had moved outside. Yeah. He was only tackle with the Colts, but he can play defensive tackle. and he'd be a great classic, you know, 4-I, 5 technique, which plays right over the tackle, kind of the 3-4 defensive end. And you remember this, the standard 3-4 that the Steelers used to always use, they don't really use that much anymore. People don't use that. Like, San Francisco's a classic 3-4 team, supposedly. They got players who look like it, but because you're in base, you have 4 down linemen.
But isn't he going to have to, as a smaller guy, use the 3-tech, be a 3-technique?
He'll have to be a 3.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
If he's going to play there. I'm not convinced that, remember, they have Folu Fotukasi as well. They have Tim Settle now, who they signed yesterday. They have, I actually think there is a decent chance that he's a sub-package rusher, that they only use him a lot on second down. Like, he's a guy who comes on the field on second down, and he rushes from inside and can also handle the run. I don't think he's a full-time, because you want him rushing from inside.
Let's not forget, though, the teams are throwing on first down more than ever now.
Yeah, no, they are, but at the same time, you don't get the same get-off.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking run first and then pass. Think about this. He's 33 years old. What makes him dangerous is his ability to rush. He's very, very tough. I'm probably not playing him on a lot of first downs. I want to keep him fresh on the rush downs. You win football by attacking quarterbacks.
And you do. Again, Khalil Davis played pretty well last year.
Khalil Davis, I thought, was fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't love that guy coming out, and I was like, man, who is 94? He's all over everything. Yeah. It's Khalil Davis. I'm like, wow.
We have a trade. A trade that means the Texans won't be drafting in the first round. The Vikings have acquired the Texans' first-round pick, number 23 overall. This is according to Tom Pelissero, for a package that includes second-rounders this year and next. So here's the total deal. Minnesota gets number 23, number 232. Houston gets number 42, number 188, and a second-rounder in 25. So they're out of the first round.
Okay, so say this again now. Houston gives away their first.
Their first this year, for a second this year, a second next year, and number 188.
Okay, Minnesota, what number's the second this year?
42.
42.
Okay, so this makes sense, because 23.
42 and 59 now.
23 didn't make any sense for a defensive tackle for me. 23, there's probably not a rusher there. 23, Brian Thomas is off the table by 23. I was having a hard time coming up with who they were going to take. That's why I did a trade up for Quinyon Mitchell. So what this does now is take the top corners, but so what's their first second rounder going to be?
42 and 59.
Okay, so at 42.
No, I'm going to tell you this.
42 is a wide receiver.
Trader Nick ain't done.
You don't think so?
Nope. Trader Nick, he likes to move up.
42.
I would not be surprised at all if Nick doesn't move up from here.
So how does he move up? Does he trade next year's first?
Yeah, you don't have a lot of
fuel. You got that second too. Don't forget.
So you're gonna use 2 seconds to go back.
And you got 2 seconds this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got out of the first round to trade back into the first round.
Well, if you did that and you can somehow package those seconds aren't high enough to get ahead of 23. You can't do that. Why would you use those 2 to get back into the late first?
I'm not even saying that they do that. They might use their 5th and a whatever to get up. Nick ain't done.
Nick is not. So you don't start this. Nick Caserio doesn't. All right, let's take a break because I want to talk about this.
Fred and AHA's joining us.
Okay, well, let me say this real quick then. Nick didn't start this. Minnesota called because they got a plan. So Minnesota's plan now is going to be to trade up and get a wide receiver. I mean, get a quarterback. They traded to get 2 first-round picks. We've seen this before when teams were trading up and, like, when the Eagles were making their move to go get Carson Wentz. This is a preemptive move for a reason. You're not just – I don't think you're just going 23. I think this is
a San Francisco move.
We're
going to
move
Trey Lance
from 11 to 23, and we're going to move up to get a pick to go get our quarterback. Yep.
That's all right, 857.
So that we can take Justin Fields out of the mix, unless they're saying we're going to take – we're going to take best of offensive line or defensive end or cornerback, whatever's still there at 23. Vikings could still do that, I guess. But it feels like a trade-up for a quarterback.
Breaking it. A.J. Hoffman joins us on the other side. Right now, you talk John Daspin.
John Daspin, the Daspin Law Firm personal injury lawyer, who started at Forbright Jaworski, highly, highly, highly nationally and internationally respected law firm. John was great there, did a fantastic job, was very successful. But then he decided to open his own firm and start helping people around Houston with personal injury issues. And John grew up here, went to high school here,
good friends with Gabe Maneki, and he's friends with Selvin Young. He works with Selvin Young to get needy children bikes, to get to do turkey drops where they do Thanksgiving stuff. He's very charitable as well, and he just wants to give back to the community. He understands that there's a lot of people when it comes to personal injury that they get hurt and they get taken advantage of, because you've got to have somebody who's looking out for you for your hospital bills, your time missed from work, your pain and suffering, physical therapy, surgery, all these things. And John Daspit and his law firm, they take their time to make sure they comb over everything. They don't do quick deals so that there's just a quick check. And because what happens then is when you sign off, you're done. You're done, and if something else arises, you need a surgery, that's out of your pocket. Let the experts there get you the payoff that is the right payoff. You get a big payoff if you are injured badly. It wasn't your fault. If you've been injured on the road or on the water or out at your workplace and through someone else's negligence, you shouldn't have to come out of pocket, and you should be compensated for what you are going through. And John Daspit will make sure that they pay, and he will fight the insurance company tooth and nail, and he has a tremendous win percentage. 713-CALL-NOW is the phone number. 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.